beautiful, Kim. And thank you to the band for playing Horace Silver. That was an unexpected pleasure there. Fall out of here. There we go. Just don't touch it and we'll be all right. Well, good morning, everyone. It is a real pleasure to be with you all again here today. Happy Father's Day. I'm a father. I get to see my daughter today, which is nowadays is not a regular occurrence. So, you know, it's always a good opportunity to get to see my daughter, having lunch with her after I get back to Austin today. And today we're going to be talking about the secret of the holy instant is the title of today's talk. And some of the prelude stuff hinted at A Course in Miracles. And the holy instant is an idea that comes from The Course in Miracles. And we're going to be talking about what it is, what its purpose is, and how what we can do to practice the holy instant more often in our lives. Are there any creative people here? Like any kind of thing? Like, right? Like poetry, writing, painting, music, any creative...
Cooking
is another one. Cooking is absolutely another one. Gardening is another. They're not just the arts, so to speak. There are many kinds of activities that when we do them, y'all recognize that we get into this state they call the flow state, where time seems to just kind of drop away, and then we have the experience of, oh, wow, I've been out here in the garden for 3 hours, and it felt like, 10 minutes, because we just surrender into that moment, into that gap, and what the Course in Miracles would call, I keep saying the course emphasizes that it's a course in miracles, not the course. A Course in Miracles is that they call the holy instant an interval of time, an interval of time. And if we kind of look at time, I'm not going to go forwards and backwards because I'll be standing here looking at y'all like this, but we'll just pretend this is the past and this is the future to this way. And so the holy instant is this moment, this interval in time where we suspend our judgments and grievances and issues and everything that we have with the past. We just suspend that. And then we also suspend the projection of our fears, our anxieties, our worries about the future. And we suspend those and we enter into this space of just we're suspended at this interval in time. And in that interval of time, which is uncommon because we're always kind of moving forward, thinking about the past, moving forward, projecting forward, thinking about the past. But we suspend time in that interval, in that gap. That's where the holy instant is. And that the secret for us to get into that space, the secret is real simple. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. We're going to hold that for a closer, okay? But there is a secret that each one of us is capable of. Each one of us employs every single day in our lives, and we've been employing it every single day of our lives in every area of our lives. And because it's so present with us, sometimes we don't recognize it as the secret strategy that's necessary. You will probably want to name it, but for now we'll just let that be suspense. Right? So let's take a look first. Let's start with what the course is. I know I've asked this probably every time I'm here, but how many folks do study A Course in Miracles or have had some experience with A Course in Miracles? Okay, well, that's enough of you. And for pretty much everybody that has had some experience with A Course in Miracles, you're going to recognize this that I'm going to read because it's the very first thing in the book before you give up on the book, right? So it's pretty good bet that everybody started here and read this part, so it may seem familiar. And for those of y'all that don't have experience with The Course in Miracles, this will kind of set the stage for, the framework for what we're talking about today. So it starts off this way. This is A Course in Miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. Okay, so we can't establish the curriculum. That's already done. Our ego probably wants to establish curriculum because, you know, I learn best this way. So can you make it sound like this so I can be a good student? Like, no, we don't establish the curriculum. The universal curriculum is what it is. We can elect when we take it. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. So if you're looking for the meaning of love, you won't find it in the pages of A Course in Miracles. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. I'll read that again. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And that this love, this presence of love, this love's presence, that is our natural inheritance. So when we get all the distractions out of the way, when we get all the static out of the way, and we actually consciously enter into a connection with that presence, that's the space, that's the holy instant, that's where miracles happen. That's where miracles happen, in that space. The opposite of love is fear. Y'all know that? Y'all know the opposite of love is fear? But what is all-encompassing, i.e. love, can actually have no opposite. So there really is no opposite to love. And we affirm that every time in our first principle, don't we? There's only one power, one presence active in the universe in my life. There is no second power competing with the power of love and the presence of love for the outcome, right? There's no competing power. There's only one power, one presence. So there is no opposite. There's only love. There's only love. So the course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way, and y'all will probably remember this. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. And then it concludes by saying, herein lies the peace of God. So, nothing unreal exists. Okay. Then everything around me must be real. Right? And nothing real can be threatened. So if it's real, it can't be threatened. If there's no threat, there's no cause to ever lose your peace. Herein lies the peace of God. But it's at that level where we're making that decision in our ego-based experience. We see threats kind of pretty frequently, don't we? Anybody? Anybody see threats to your peace in traffic sometimes? Anybody ever get that? How about on the phone with a customer service representative who's not getting it? There's opportunities that we have to lose our peace because we think something is at threat in every one of those situations. On some level, like if it's getting cut off in traffic, there was that instantaneous flash where we felt threatened, like just for a second, or you know, a split decision this one way or the other, this could have turned out differently. And so we're reacting in fear. And my mother used to say, you know, I would get into this sort of road rage kind of thing, just, you know, telling them whatever. My mother would go, cancel, cancel. You know, own it. I've gotten better over the course of the years. I've actually tracked my spiritual progress in traffic over the course of time by seeing how I respond to people who cut me off today versus way back when. Now it's more like, I hope you get exactly where you're going, exactly on time, totally safely. Have a great day. You know, because everybody else's lives are at stake too. So let's make sure this person who seems to be in a hurry gets where they're going, as opposed to losing my cookies in the car when I'm the only one that's hearing it. So we get to practice that moment of peace, that holy instant is always now. Y'all seen those clocks? That instead of having numbers on the clocks, it just says now at all the and all the, you know, number of positions, just now. The time is always now. The holy instant is always now. You can't have a holy instant in the past. That holy instant is potential is gone, and you're not yet in the future, so it doesn't exist there. It's always now. It's available to everyone, universally available to everyone. But we have to put ourselves in the position to experience it. A Course in Miracles says that miracles are naturally occurring. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. We tend to think of, when we think about miracles, we tend to think of something extraordinary outside the physical bound. Wow, it's a miracle. You know, a disease just miraculously, spontaneously heals. Doctors don't have an explanation for it. It's just, it's a miracle. It always seems like an extraordinary thing, but a course teaches us that miracles are natural. They're naturally occurring. They occur as expressions of love. That's the source of them. Expressions of love create miracles, right? So in that expression of love, of course, the miracle says there's only two kinds of actions, acts of love and requests for love. Acts of love and requests for love. And you can also say love or fear. Same duality. Love or fear. Acts of love, requests for love. Had a situation, one of my clients that I work with, it's just the owner and two of us, and we all work remotely. And the other day he wasn't upset, but he can be very short in the way that he communicates, and it can sound like he's upset. And the woman that works with us kind of took it personally, you know. She started defending herself, and in the context of defending herself, you know, she kind of, well, this is the end of the line of our working relationship, and it's just the end of the line of our working relationship. Like, it went that far. And I was watching the email thread, and I was like, should I chime in? No. The next morning, I got an email from him, and he said, hey, will you read this and let me know what you think? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I reread it, and I texted him back, and I said to him, acts of love, requests for love. Which one is hers? Well, she might be requesting some love and, you know, connections. Like, yeah. Then it becomes incumbent upon you to express love, like to meet her there, to meet that request. Because if you meet her request for love with your own request for love, this isn't going to end well. It's going to ruin my day. We're dealing with drama that I don't have time for today. So it really, it's like we can assess every kind of action and reaction in the world that way. Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith says that every newspaper headline is a prayer request. Kind of changes the view, right? It also creates an opportunity in that moment for me to practice expressing love where fear seems to be present, where threat seems to be present. So it's kind of a mindful thing to be aware of next time you're watching your favorite news source or reading your favorite, you know, media outlet and everything, and wherever you're aligning yourself on the spectrum is like requests for love, acts of love. It's always incumbent upon me to act in love. I don't always act in love. Sometimes I got my own requests, right? Sometimes I got my own requests. But I am mindful that if I'm making a request for love, I can frame it differently. I can make a request for love in a loving way. I can make a request for love without acting out and creating unnecessary drama. All of those moments, every single one of those decisions, in all of those moments, in every single instant, the holy instant is present. And of course, the miracles teaches us that the holy instant, the purpose of the holy instant, is to facilitate our learning. It's the course's most useful learning device, the holy instant. So it's incumbent upon us to like learn how to practice it. We might want to spend a little time chopping wood, carrying water, doing our reps to practice getting into the holy instant so that we can not only experience miracles in a direct way, but we can also help facilitate miracles because we become receptive to the power of love flowing through us. We become aware, constantly aware of love's presence, and we're now a co-creator in that experience. So in addition to experiencing the holy instant, we can become agents of the holy experience. The Holy Spirit can work through us to facilitate miracles for others, miracles for ourselves. So does anybody have enough miracles? Anybody? Okay, good. I'm at the right meeting. Good. So we're practicing the holy instant in order to create more opportunities for this transformative experience. And as we said at the top there, you know, creative flow activities, you're in the holy instant. This is not like the holy instant is not something that's foreign to anybody in this room, I don't think. I think we've all had the experience of being in a moment that is a holy instant, but maybe not framing it that way, especially for creative people that have been flow activities. Last time I was here was May 21st. I turned 65 on May 28th, which was Pentecost Sunday. And I've been speaking with you all about this experience that I've been going through over the Easter period and the 40 days after and the preparation for the transformation and looking forward to my 65th birthday and saying, okay, life before 65, life after 65. What do I want to do after 65? And the top line item on that was, I want to spend the rest of my life doing my writing, like doing my creative writing, because that was always the thing that got kicked down the priority list when I was volunteering or doing some other things in life. And so that was my intention. That's what I was moving through that Easter experience for this year. When I was here on May 21st, 2 days before that, was the first morning that I got up and got out of the house before 6 o'clock and went to a local coffee shop and started writing my book in earnest, writing the novel in earnest. I'd been preparing for it for a while, got notes and character sketches and all those kinds of things. But a couple of days before the last time I saw y'all was the last day that I had, or the first day I should say, that I had legitimately sat down and began writing the novel. Chapter 1, page 1, here's the opening line, let's saddle up and go. And I have written every day since then, every single day since then, at least 2 hours, sometimes more, at least 2 hours at that first sitting, and sometimes you get in like little aftershocks through the day and you find 30 minutes here, and I think I'm going to go have a cup of coffee over at Starbucks and write for an hour and find other opportunities, because once that process is ongoing, you know, you kind of, like, it's present. You can just keep moving with it. If you've got 30 minutes, you kind of move back into it. That's what Julia Cameron calls writing in the nooks and crannies of your life. Like, you don't imagine you're going to be able to go away to the beach for 6 months and have nobody around and be able to write this thing all day. You have to learn to write in the nooks and crannies. So for the past month, at 6 a.m., which means I forego my morning reading, I forego my morning coffee with my partner Faith and our dog Layla, which was a wonderful part of my day, but most times I'm out of the house now before they even wake up, and I'm over at the coffee shop, and I write for 2 hours. Those 2 hours is an extended holy instant, because I'm not allowing other distractions from my normal day to get in the way. I literally set the cup of coffee down, open my iPad, and I write. And I think, I don't know if I told y'all this the last time I was here or not, but there's a famous quote by the classical composer Tchaikovsky. If y'all have heard this one before, you can tell me. He says, somebody was asking him about his creative process, and he says, well, he said, every morning I sit down at my piano at 9 a.m., and the muse has learned to be on time. Right? That muse is the holy instant. That's the Holy Spirit. That's that when we sit down and intend to experience miracles, to participate in miracles, to participate in the creative process, the muse is on time. The Holy Spirit is on time. The Course says this. This will bring this home. It says, the Course, A Course in Miracles, which is, by the way, almost 670 pages of text, 365 daily lessons, and then a whole teacher's manual, and then entire books written on how to read the Course in Miracles. So there's a whole big library of reading A Course in Miracles. But what A Course says about the holy instant, practicing the holy instant, is this course is not beyond immediate learning. What do you mean, Rick? That's 670 pages. It takes me a little while to read 670 pages. But it's not beyond my immediate learning. And the only way it is beyond my immediate learning is if I believe that God's will takes time. Anybody ever prayed for that and kind of didn't expect an answer, like right now in the moment of prayer, but somewhere down the line, it will take God time to work this out because this is a complicated prayer. I got issues that got to be worked out. It's not beyond immediate learning because God's will does not take time. This means only that you would rather delay the recognition of His will, and that you're choosing that the holy instant be somewhere else. I don't want it now. I want something else now. And while I'm choosing this something else, I'm not able to choose the holy instant. The holy instant is this instant and every instant. The one you want it to be, it is. The one you would not have it be is lost to you. You must decide when it is. Probably incomplete sentence. It probably should say, you must decide when it is for you. Right? Because others of us in the room could be saying, yeah, bring it on, I'm ready for it right now. But if you're choosing not to experience the holy instant, if you're choosing not to see the potential for miracles in your life, if you're choosing not to see a dark night of the soul experience that you're going through has the capacity and potential to transform your life, if you're unwilling to see it, you won't see it. When you do see it, it's because you're willing to see it. And that, my friends, is the secret to the holy instant. Willingness. Willingness. It's that simple. A Course in Miracles makes a big deal about what they call the little willingness. Okay, the little willingness. That I don't need to know how miracles work. I don't need to know how love, you know, transforms experience and transforms them into miracles. I don't need to understand it. I don't even need to believe it. I don't even need to believe it. What I do have to do is be willing to allow for it, to be willing to be in that space. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't really feel like I have a strong will. And yet I have flexed that will in every single choice I have made throughout my entire life. Because nothing really happens in our lives unless we're willing it to happen. And if everything is happening in a divine order to facilitate our transformation, then everything that is happening for us, not to us. Y'all have probably heard that one before. Happening for us, not to us. That changes the whole story from victim to victor, right? Changes the whole thing. Life is not happening to me, it's happening for me. Now I can get in a position, put myself in a position to be co-creative with that, because I already am being co-creative with this other drama that's going on in my life. I just haven't been willing to take responsibility for the fact that I'm co-creating and participating in the drama. It's other people's fault. It's their fault. If they weren't doing what they were doing, I wouldn't have to do what I do. But we're putting our will in that direction when we do that. Our willingness is on the table to have that experience. And having that experience also, by definition, keeps away the experience of the holy instant. Because we don't want to have the holy instant, because the holy instant came in and then I have to give up this other story and I like this other story. I like the part I'm playing in that story. It's an Academy Award winning performance. If they would just see it rightly. But that's what it is. We're either willing to do that and be involved in the drama or the story of our littleness or powerlessness or whatever you want to call it, comes in multiple forms, or we're willing to do something different. And that's all the holy instant requires, is our willingness to have it be so instead of these other things. And then as we move into our creative pursuits, writing, music, painting, gardening, cooking, basket weaving, etch-a-sketch drawings, whatever it is, whatever it is, we can get into that moment, in that relationship, into that holy instant, to where we become receptive and open to the creative flow and we're not resisting. Can anybody here, would anybody be willing to have miracles more often in your life? Anybody? Anybody not? Okay, all right, good. That's good. But that's it. Willingness. We don't have to make it heavy. We don't have to make it complicated. It's willingness, because we're either willing to see the miracle and be part of it, or we're willing something differently. And so to practice that holy instant on a consistent basis in our lives, all it requires is willingness. It's that simple. It's not necessarily easy to retrain your willingness. Now, I want to just go ahead and caution everybody right now as you go out into the world that, you know, the ego is not going to give up the ghost all that easily with us. Even after we're mature and down the path and pretty well, you know, instilled in our habits of choosing love, there's still opportunities in the course of our day that can tempt us away from that. None of us will do it perfectly. To me, doing it perfectly is to at least be conscious that I'm engaged in the process. Because if I'm conscious when I'm choosing fear, if I'm conscious when I'm choosing love, then I can calibrate and recalibrate as necessary. So consciousness and awareness of this experience, you know, is an ingredient. If I wish to have my experience transformed, I just become willing to participate in that interval of time. Remember that interval of time where we suspend the past and the future and just be present with the presence of love, the power of love, and allow it to work miracles in our lives. So let's practice the holy instant. Are y'all willing?
Yes.
Okay. So let's, are we going to have some music? You're going to play some music? Have you got a song you're just going to play behind me? Good. All right, very good. Very good. Into the mystic. Okay, so let's just a moment. That music will be settling us into this space. I just invite you to, if you need to shift in your chair and get yourself comfortable. Just feel the weight of the chair supporting you. Feel your feet on the ground. Your hands gently placed in your lap or folded, whatever makes you comfortable. Gently closing our outer eyes, we feel this moment. We feel this connection right here in this sanctuary, right here in this community, in this room, in this right here, right now moment, this holy instant. We breathe into that holy instant. We suspend all judgment of the past. Suspend all striving and expectation of the future. Just be present with spirit. Just be present in consciousness with that indwelling Christ presence. As we prepare to go into the silence for a few moments, just be present with whatever's moving within you and be willing to hand it over to be transformed, to be handed over into a miraculous experience that transforms it into a powerful expression of love in your life. There's nothing to do. Only to be willing to experience the miracle in the silence. As we begin to gently draw our attention back into the sanctuary, we do so in the knowledge and the awareness that the holy instant is always now. Its presence is everywhere I am. The potential to transform my life through miracles is present with me everywhere, all the time. The holy instant is always now. And so I commit to keep my willingness on the table to not only experience the holy instant on a more and more regular basis in my life, but to be in a co-creative relationship, to be a voice for love, to be an agent of miracles. For this opportunity, for the power, for the presence, for the miracles of love, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. We pray all of this and more in the name and the nature of Jesus, the indwelling Christ. And so it is, and so we allow it to be. Amen.